You pull up your chart, you're planning a cross-country, and right where you need it, tucked between two fuel stops, exactly where the leg works, there's a little symbol on your sectional. Private airstrip. Grass field, maybe 2,000 feet behind somebody's farm. You make the call and you get the same answer that general aviation pilots have been getting for decades now. Sorry. Close to the public, I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking about a law just signed in Louisiana that's trying to change that dynamic and why it matters beyond the Bayou State. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's set the scene before we get into the legislation itself, because the context matters here. The United States has thousands of private airstrips scattered across its landscape. Some are paved, some are manicured grass, some are just a carefully mowed stretch of field that somebody's grandfather landed a Piper Cub on in 1949. A lot of them don't appear in any official database. Some of the ones that do appear show up with a notation that should make any cross-country pilot's heart sink. Prior permission required, or simply closed to the public. If you fly general aviation, you've felt this. You know there's a strip out there, you can see it on the chart. Maybe you've even flown over it, and you also know you're not going to land there. Not because the owner has anything against you personally, not because the strip isn't usable, but because somewhere along the line the calculus changed. The fear of being sued became bigger than the pleasure of sharing a landing strip. That fear has been quietly eating the private airstrip network for years, and it's worth understanding exactly how that happens, because it's not dramatic. It doesn't happen all at once, it happens one gate at a time. A landowner gets a letter from an attorney after a pilot ground loops on his strip. Another one hears a story from a neighbor about a lawsuit over a fence clipped on short final. Word spreads at the local airport coffee hour that someone got taken to court over an incident on their property, and even though the case was eventually dismissed, the legal bills were still real. Nothing clarifies a person's thinking about public access faster than hearing about somebody else's legal bills, so the gates stay closed. And that's how a network erodes. Not with a single dramatic decision, but with 10,000 small ones made by reasonable people who have done a reasonable calculation about risk. What Louisiana has now done is try to change that calculation. The law extends liability protection specifically to private airfield owners who allow other pilots to use their property. The legal concept underpinning it is sometimes called recreational use protection, and the idea is not new in American law. Most states have some form of recreational use statute, laws that say if you open your property to the public for recreational purposes without charging a fee, your exposure to liability is significantly reduced. You see versions of this with hunting land, with hiking trails, with rural waterways. The principle is that we as a society benefit when private property is accessible for recreation, and we shouldn't penalize landowners for being generous. Applying that protection specifically to aviation, to the act of allowing a pilot to land on your private strip, has been slower to develop. And in the absence of clear protection, landowners have defaulted to the most conservative position, keeping the gate locked. Louisiana's new law addresses that directly. The protection it provides applies when the owner is not charging for access. This is not about commercial operations or landing fees. It doesn't shield gross negligence or intentional misconduct. If a strip owner knows about a dangerous hazard on the field and does nothing about it, that's not covered. The law is not giving anyone a blank check. But it does remove the everyday exposure that comes with simply being generous. The worry that a normal landing accident, the kind that happens on every airfield in the country, at every skill level, under every condition, could turn into a ruinous legal problem for the property owner. That specific fear, the one that closes gates, is what this law is designed to address. Aviation groups are reading it that way. Avweb reported this week that organizations including the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association have called the measure a meaningful step, with the argument that it could encourage more landowners to open their fields to outside traffic while reducing the legal concerns that have historically kept them closed. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the Experimental Aircraft Association have all been active at the state level on exactly this kind of legislation. And for good reason. The private airstrip network isn't just a convenience for weekend flyers, it serves real functions. Think about what a private strip provides that a public airport doesn't. It's often closer to where you're actually going. It's quieter, it's accessible at odd hours without a call to a fixed base operator. In rural areas, it may be the only option within a reasonable distance. In an emergency, it's the strip you know is there, even if it's not in the system. And in a natural disaster, when the public airport is shut down or overwhelmed, private strips have historically served as critical relief infrastructure, a place to land a medical flight, a supply run, a search and rescue aircraft. The practical case for maintaining the private strip network isn't nostalgic, it's operational, and the network has been under pressure. Public airports have been closing at a slow but measurable rate over the decades. Development pressure, municipal budget constraints, declining fuel sales as fleets got more efficient, local governments that see the land value and forget the aviation value. The Federal Aviation Administration's National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems tracks public use airports, and that document tells the story of a network that has been thinning at the edges for a long time. Private strips don't replace public airports. They're different things. But they've always been part of the broader picture of where you can go in a light aircraft in this country. As the public network has thinned, the informal private network has mattered more. And as the liability landscape got more uncertain, that informal network started quietly shrinking too. Louisiana's law is one state trying to stop that shrinkage, at least within its borders. Now, let's be honest about what happens after a law like this is signed. It does not immediately result in 100 grass strips flipping from closed to open. A landowner who has kept his gate locked for 15 years doesn't check the news and suddenly decide today is the day. The fear doesn't evaporate the moment the governor's signature is dry. What changes is the foundation. The legal barrier that was the primary justification for keeping the gate locked has been addressed. The next step is awareness, making sure landowners actually know the law exists and what it provides. That's not a given. A lot of rural landowners are not reading aviation trade publications. They're not on the AOPA forums. They may not know for months or years that their liability exposure has changed. That's where the aviation community comes in. If you're based in Louisiana and you know a private strip owner, a neighbor, a member of your flying club, someone you've talked to at the local air show, that conversation is worth having now. Not a sales pitch, just the facts. The law changed. Here's what it means. The door is open if you want it to be. For pilots planning cross countries through Louisiana, the practical benefit will take time to materialize. But it's worth starting to pay attention to what's on your charts that was previously listed as unavailable. Some of these strips will make their way into the backcountry flying directories and pilot community databases over the coming months and years. The community that tracks these things, and it is a genuine community, people who are deeply invested in maintaining access to backcountry and off-airport landing sites, will do the work of cataloging what opens up. There's a broader point worth making here about how general aviation policy actually works, because it doesn't get enough attention. The Federal Aviation Administration regulates the airspace. It sets the rules for how you fly, what you fly, and what certificates and ratings you need to do it. But the FAA does not control who can land on private property. That's entirely a matter of state law. And that means the legal landscape for private strip access is genuinely fragmented. The protections that exist in one state may not exist in the next. If you fly in a state that hasn't passed this kind of legislation, it's worth knowing whether your advocacy organizations are pushing for it. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association and the Experimental Aircraft Association both have government affairs teams that work the state level. These aren't the high-profile fights. Nobody's making cable news over a Louisiana airstrip liability bill. But they have real, concrete effects on the pilots who fly in those states. The work that gets done in a state legislature in Baton Rouge eventually informs what happens in a state house somewhere else. That's how state-by-state policy change actually moves. One bill, one state, one set of data points for the next advocate in the next state house to point to when they say this worked. Here's the evidence. Louisiana is now part of that evidence base. The framing from aviation groups on this one has been consistent since the story broke. More private strips accessible means more options for general aviation. That's a simple equation. And for pilots in Louisiana, the variables just shifted in their favor. Sources today from AvWeb and the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Keep the gates open.